So these are words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to chapter 11, verse 1. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it challenges us and speaks to us, comforts us, reassures us, convicts us, and guides us. Lord God, I pray that our hearts would be open to whatever it is you want to say to us this morning. And I pray that the words that I speak would be a reflection of what it is that is on your heart for our church today and for all who are listening to this. Lord, we ask your Spirit to be at work as we explore these words of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we're coming to the end of this series based on Matthew chapter 10. And I don't know if you remember, but a few weeks ago, I asked you to imagine this scenario. You live in first century Palestine, in one of the little villages dotted around the shores of Lake Galilee. And suddenly there's a knock on the door. And there's two rather ragged looking men standing there on your doorstep who say that their names are Philip and Bartholomew and that they're followers of Jesus. And what they're doing is they're travelling around the area, basically doing the kinds of things that Jesus has been doing. They've been sent by him to preach, to heal, to teach, to do exorcisms. And they say that they want to stay with you for a while. They say that they're here to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near in Jesus. You hesitate for a bit, perhaps. You remember the story of your ancestor Abraham. Abraham welcomed the three men who came to visit him, and it turned out that he was entertaining angels unawares, and that those men came with the very promise and words of God. But you're poor. You and your family perhaps don't have much room. You don't have much money. You don't have much to offer them. Also, it's not a good time. You're busy. You've got things to do. You've got life to live. You've got your own family to think about. Yes, you've heard about Jesus. The things he's been doing sound exciting. Some people say maybe he's the Messiah, the Son of God. But Phil and Bart don't look much like messiahs. They look a bit rough, to be honest. They've not got any money with them. They're a little bit smelly. What are you going to do? Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Over the summer, we've been looking at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. And most of the time during those sermons, I've been asking you to put yourself in the shoes of those disciples being sent out by Jesus, called to go, called to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near, called to travel light, called to be wise, called to endure in the face of persecution, called to make some agonising choices, and to be radically loyal to Jesus above all else. But here in the last few verses of the chapter, the perspective shifts a little bit. It shifts from the perspective of the ones who hear the message, the disciples who are being called, sorry, it shifts from the perspective of the disciples who are being sent to being the people that receive them, the people that hear their message. And perhaps today we're called to put ourselves in their shoes instead. So today's call, the call of these verses, is to be people of welcome, people of hospitality, people of generosity. And today we learn that even the smallest acts of kindness can have an eternal significance. Even the smallest acts of kindness can have an eternal significance. You know, as I've been praying for our church, as I've been praying for New Park Street over the last 2 years or so, three words keep coming up over and over again. And I want to just offer these words to you today as foundational biblical values to shape us, to mould us as the people of God here in Holyhead. And the words are these: hospitality, generosity and prayer. Hospitality, generosity and prayer. And these are words which echo through our church's story down the years. They're values which characterise us already, but they're also values which I believe that we're being called to grow into, that Jesus invites us to grow into and to practice so that we can more fully come to embody the gospel, the good news of Christ in Holyhead. Hospitality, generosity and prayer. Hospitality, generosity and prayer. And over the next year or two, I'd like us as a church to delve more and more into those three biblical values, to explore them and what they might mean for us and how we might practice them. In September, we're going to be looking in more depth at hospitality and what it might mean for us as we go back into our building, and perhaps also as we're able to open up our homes a little bit more in a way that we've not been able to for the last 18 months or so. And this bit at the end of Matthew chapter 10 just leads us perfectly into this. So the first question that I want to ask us all this morning is this: whose face is Jesus wearing today? Whose face is Jesus wearing today? Verses 40 and 41 say this: anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Now, being a minister is not always the greatest job to have if you want to watch your weight or lose weight. Because there's a strong Christian tradition of hospitality towards clergy, which I call the Morty Vicar syndrome. And this often involves lots of tea and coffee, and it often involves biscuits or cake. And sometimes I have to say no, unfortunately. And I'm not discouraging this at all. I think it's great. And I've received wonderful hospitality from many of you and from others down the years. And I'm really, really grateful for it. But Jesus is asking us in these verses to look at more than just the obvious people, to recognise him for who he is in the faces of one another, and perhaps sometimes in unexpected places. In verse 42, Jesus refers to his disciples as little ones. Little ones. Comparing them to children. And these words, this word little ones, is used in a variety of contexts throughout the Gospels. And they're often used when Jesus is actually talking about children and welcoming children. And in the society in which Jesus lived, we've got to remember that children weren't actually kind of put on a pedestal like they are a bit today. They were actually the lowest of the low. They were seen as really low status. They were seen as humble and lowly, unimportant. And Jesus actually exhorts his disciples to go downwardly mobile, to become like little children. In Matthew 18, I don't know if I've got this, these verses, Matthew 18, No, I haven't. Matthew 18, verses 4 to 5 say this: "Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And then some words which echo the ones we've just read. "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So this makes me ask this question: who is wearing Jesus' face today in your life? Maybe someone unexpected, someone low status, someone you perhaps wouldn't normally bother with, someone not very intelligent maybe, or someone poor, or someone who's homeless, maybe a child. Or conversely, it could be an older person. I think in our society, older people are often kind of shunned or dismissed. Who is wearing Jesus' face in your life today? And who is speaking Jesus' words to us today? Sometimes God can speak through the most unlikely people. Verse 41 talks about welcoming a prophet as a prophet. And who are prophets? Prophets are people who speak the word of God to us in season. And God can speak to us through the words of our brothers and sisters in the church, or even strangers, or even children. Who's wearing Jesus' face in your life today? Who is speaking God's word to you today? So, practical challenge number one for us this week: who will you be having a cup of tea with this week? Could be in your house, could be in their house, could be in a cafe, wherever it might be. Can you recognise the face of Jesus in that person? Can you hear the voice of Jesus speaking through that person? The writer of the book of Hebrews has these wonderful words: "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me," says Jesus. And then verse 42 goes on to say this: "If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. We've spoken a lot during this series of the cost and the demands of following Jesus, the agonising choices that we're often called to make, the sacrifices, the hardships, the persecution. And sometimes it can be really hard to be a Christian and to follow Jesus. But in this verse, we can see that actually also it can sometimes be very, very simple. It starts with small steps, small kindnesses, a tiny act of giving, a cup of cold water. One commentator says of this verse, "Those who remain at home practicing hospitality quite surprisingly and unpredictably receive God's infinite reward. The reward for a single glass of cold water is paradise." So my second question to you today is, what is your cup of cold water? What is your cup of cold water? Remember, if we welcome someone in the name of Jesus, we welcome Jesus. We welcome the message of Jesus. We welcome the one who sent Jesus. We welcome God. Is there someone that is on your mind, maybe, who God wants you to reach out to this week with a cup of cold water? Let's ask God to put someone on our mind right now. Maybe someone we've not thought about for a while. What's your cup of cold water? We've already spoken about in our culture, it might be a cup of tea. Maybe God wants you to share a cup of tea with someone this week. Maybe it's a bunch of flowers. Maybe your cup of cold water is just a donation, some money that's going to make someone's life a bit easier this month, or is going to help one of those terrible situations around the world that we've been hearing about. Maybe your cup of cold water is a phone call to somebody. Maybe it's an offer to pray for someone or to pray with someone. Maybe it's babysitting for someone. Maybe it's a meal for someone's freezer. What's your cup of cold water? A tiny act of kindness that doesn't cost you much, but it's just a sign of welcome, a sign of hospitality and generosity and love in the name of Jesus. If we welcome someone in the name of Jesus, we welcome Jesus. We welcome the message of Jesus. We welcome the one who sent Jesus. We welcome God. So that's my two questions for you this morning. Who is wearing Jesus' face in your life today? And what is your cup of cold water that you're going to extend to somebody this week? So as we come to the end of this challenging, difficult, but inspiring chapter in the Gospel of Matthew, we think of those disciples going out into all the local towns and villages around Galilee, preaching and healing. And what happens next? How do they get on? What happens? Well, unlike in Luke's Gospel, in Matthew's Gospel, they don't tell us. We don't know. We never get any reports of what happens to them. We never get any feedback on how the mission went. No evaluations, no post-mission surveys. We're just told this, that after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. That's all we're told. Matthew is not concerned with recording the success or failure of the disciples. It's not about what they do or what they don't manage to do. And you know, this really speaks to me because, you know, our society is so driven by numbers. I can see right now how many people are watching this service. And it's really hard not to focus on that and think, oh, is it going up? Is it going down? Who's watching? Who's interested? Oh, are we getting enough people? Our society is so driven by numbers, by productivity, by success and failure, by outcomes. But actually, in the kingdom of God, it's not about numbers. It's not about success as the world sees it. It's not about productivity. It's not about outcomes. It's about obedience. Obedience and faithfulness to what we're being called to do. Our society is all about celebrity and fame. It's about being brash and showy. And it's about how many followers you've got on Instagram. But the kingdom of God is often about tiny, tiny things, hidden things, unspectacular things. A cup of tea, a prayer prayed in the quiet of your room with the door closed. Things done in secret, things done behind the scenes, off the beaten track, things done in ordinary homes and ordinary streets and ordinary workplaces in the everyday. A cup of cold water. So as we come to share bread and wine together in a few moments, just want us to remember Jesus in these words of Paul. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let's pray. Lord God, I pray that we can be a people of welcome, a people of hospitality, a people who look at the smallest and the least and see the face of Christ. A people who are open to hearing the words of Jesus spoken into their lives from whatever direction that might come. A people who are looking for opportunities to extend a cup of cold water, a small act of kindness to the people that we meet. Lord, I pray that you will help us not to miss those opportunities, those little promptings, whenever they come along. And I pray that we will follow them through and do them. And Lord, I thank you so much that it's just not about our success. Lord, we fail so many times. And Lord, you're not calling us to worry about success and outcomes. You're calling us to be obedient and to be faithful to you. And so I thank you for that, Lord God. And I pray that we might obey you and be faithful to our calling in this place to be your disciples. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.